This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
This is Randy Snyder. Before we begin this week's message, just this word. During the month of December, some standalone messages from specific text about a specific purpose for the season or for the week. Christmas week. This week, we look at a Christmas text, Luke, the second chapter, the first 14 verses. The 12th verse, where the angel is speaking to the shepherds and says this, "This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Hence the title, Here's Your Sign. God bless you as you listen all this week to a Christmas message from Luke 2.
As much as I joke about being a fan of Willie Nelson, which I really am a fan, I really have been a fan, I know nothing, and I mean nothing about country music. I don't know who's in today. I couldn't tell you who's popular. There's a whole new generation of country singers today, and so I know little or nothing about country music. So I know little about the guy that I begin talking about today, a country singer by the name of Travis Tritt. All I know about him is he came from Marietta, Georgia. His mom wanted him to go into Christian music. He sang in Bible school, sang in his church in Marietta, Georgia, but went into country music. He's got some great quotes that are really profound. His one that I thought was just really especially intellectually deep, he said, "If you're going to sing, sing loud." That just really spoke to me. If you're going to sing, sing loud. I tell you about Travis Tritt for this reason. Before he made it big in the country music business, like many country singers, he used to play in the out-of-the-way honky-tonks, bars, and joints. And he said that many of the places that he played were actually dangerous places. He said there was often very common for fights to break out. And he said it was amazing to me, when people have been drinking, they will fight over anything. When people have been drinking, they literally will fight about or over anything. And so he said he had a custom that yet when the bar fights started getting out of hand, when the bikers were reaching for their pool cues, and the rednecks were heading to the truck to get the gun off the gun rack, he said something fascinating to me. He said, "I started playing Silent Night, Holy Night. All is calm, all is bright," and would sing it. He said people would stop. They're fighting. And sometimes they'd start crying. Of course, under the influence of alcohol as well, all the emotions are raw under the influence of alcohol. And as he said, "Isn't it interesting? It didn't matter if it was in the middle of July." He said, "I'd be sweating, singing a song. And when the fight would break out, I'd start singing Silent Night, Holy Night." Isn't it interesting, the power of a song, a Christmas carol? You know, Christmas carols are not just symbols, but they are a sign. To me, they are a sign of the Savior. And that's why it's intriguing to me, as you go out in the malls this year, you will hear very little, if any, Christmas carols. You won't hear anything. You'll hear, you know, Frosty the Snowman and Rudolph the Red-Nosed, whatever, and you will hear Grandma Got Ran Over by a Reindeer. But I challenge you, you will be hard-pressed to hear anybody singing Silent Night, Holy Night. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Because there is power. I'm convinced that's why people don't play it. There's power in people's lives when Christ is talked about, even in an indirect way, even in an offhanded way, because people intuitively, I think, know that Christmas, when you talk about Jesus, you're talking about the cross. And when you talk about the cross, you're talking about my sin. When you talk about Christ, you're talking about my need for forgiveness. All that, I think, subconsciously is running through people's minds.
Well, this standalone message called Here's Your Sign from Luke 2 continues tomorrow on Cross Hope. You do know our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org, to listen to this message, any message you've heard on Cross Hope.
And we begin with the most famous passage of all, Luke 2, that you've heard. You've read it. You've heard it in Christmas plays with your children. You perhaps quoted it in a Christmas play. It's the second chapter of Luke, beginning with verse 1. "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census would be taken of the entire Roman world. And everyone went to his town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger. Manger means feeding trough. That's all it means. Because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. They weren't afraid. They were terrified. There's a difference. Some of you know the difference because you've been terrified in some situation, perhaps. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be the sign," not a sign, it really means in the Greek, the sign. "This is the sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Signs are important in our life, physical signs. Your day began looking at signs, whether you picked up a medicine bottle. In other words, there are things that we look at that are visual signs. There are signs that have to do with health. In doing some research, I found out there's a difference between a symptom and a sign of illness. I never knew. I thought that was the same thing. A symptom is subjective. You can have a symptom of a disease, but it can be any number of conditions or situations causing that symptom. But a sign is something objective. A clogged artery is a sign of heart disease. It's not a symptom, it's a sign that there's heart disease, for example. And isn't it interesting? The shepherds are told, go to Bethlehem. And here's the sign that the Messiah, the Christ, the Lord, you're going to find him. It's not just that he was a baby, and not that he was wrapped in swaddling clothes or cloths. The sign was he would be in a manger. Because my guess is in Bethlehem, there probably were other babies, newborn babies there, wrapped in cloth. But this was the only one that was in a feeding trough for a cradle. And this is the sign to you. And I want to talk to you about signs today in a special way, that there's a sign of Christmas to you that speaks to your life and your need for a Savior. That's the sign today. You hear a Christmas carol? Don't think of a tree or just think of, you know, this Christmas spirit or the Christmas season. Think of the Christ. And the one who came, who was God, became flesh and humbled himself. Do you imagine the humiliation, in a sense, of being from heaven and you're laid to rest in a feeding trough? You talk about humbling. Everything about Jesus is humbling. God humbled himself, Philippians says, to the point of what? To the point of death on the cross. He poured himself out. That's humbling. And that's what he did for you and for me. I want to talk about the signs maybe in a way that you've never thought about before.
Well, this message will continue tomorrow on Cross Hope. I hope you realize our website, of course, is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org, to listen to this message or any message on Cross Hope. God bless you. Merry Christmas.
Gene Doolin was a minister in the Christian church who was a missionary in Austria for years. Gene Doolin said one particular Christmas in Austria, he said he came upon a hand-carved nativity scene where the figures were larger than life in a beautiful setting in Austria. He said as he stood thinking about the meaning of Christmas and the nativity scene in front of him, a grandmother stopped with her 3-year-old grandchild. She stooped over and began to talk with this 3-year-old child. She pointed to Mary, and she pointed to Joseph, and she pointed to the baby in the feeding trough, in the manger. Gene Doolin said, "I couldn't understand the German at the time, but he knew she was telling the story of Jesus to her grandchild." And then Doolin added, "For 2,000 years, parents and grandparents and even great-grandparents have passed on the story of Jesus. It has changed millions of lives and the whole world." And that's the gift of the baby in the manger, the gift of eternal life that comes through Christ. Christmas is about your need for forgiveness, and mine too. Christmas isn't just good news and we pat people on the back and be happy and just experience the joy of the season. I don't need the joy of the season. I need forgiveness, and so do you. I don't need just the joy of the season. I need reason to have hope for the future. I read an interesting story this week about a man named Frank from Plano, Texas. I'm just going to read his story to you. When he was in elementary school, he said, "I was diagnosed as having neurological impairment based on history, delayed milestones reached, and minimally suggestive neurological signs. After this report was sent to the elementary school that commissioned it, my parents were sent a letter that said, 'A copy of this report has been sent to your physician. He will explain the medical seriousness of the findings in the examination. Would both of you please make an appointment with my office to discuss the educational implications of this report?'" So Frank said he was pegged, is the word he used, pegged as a kid with neurological impairment. He was promoted socially through the school system. He was just put in the next grade, so the teacher just handed him off to the next grade. Always sat in the back of the class. He was never called upon because he had been designated as neurologically impaired. Interesting end of the story. He now has a PhD in pure math from MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology. After getting his doctorate, PhD from MIT, went on to become the president of a company. And then he said, "I had to honor my promise." He said, "I made a promise years ago that if I ever, got an education and I was ever to graduate from college, someday I'm going to go back and teach." So he quit his position as the president of the company and went back to teaching so he could work with other children who had been pegged as problematic in their learning and to be someone who could help. What a story. May I tell you something far greater than that? You have been pegged for death. So have I. You have been pegged for damnation, and so have I. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to deliver us and kept his promise. He said, "If I come to you, I will come again and claim my own." And did you know the book of Hebrews says that Jesus came not only to redeem man of sin? Most people don't know this. I'm convinced of this, that Jesus came for the purpose of delivering them from the fear of death that the Hebrew writer says has held people in bondage all their lives.
Well, this Christmas message from Luke, the second chapter, will continue tomorrow on Cross Hope. I hope you know that our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org, to listen to this message or any other message you've heard on Cross Hope.
Did you know the book of Hebrews says that Jesus came not only to redeem man of sin? Most people don't know this. I'm convinced of this, that Jesus came for the purpose of delivering them from the fear of death that the Hebrew writer says has held people in bondage all their lives. You realize so many of the fears that you have in life are really the fear of death, fear of illness, fear of death, fear of flying, fear of death, fear of going to combat, fear of death. I mean, all the fears that we have in life ultimately go to the bottom line, the fear of death. And Jesus came for the express purpose of delivering people like you and me, not only from our sin, that's reason number one, primary, and at the front. He came to deliver me from my sin, but also to deliver me from my fear of death, which according to the Hebrew writer has held people in bondage all their life. Kevin Queen is an associate minister of a church in Atlanta. Great speaker. He's in his 40s. He said he was sensitive to this fact. I don't know if you would, any of you have a sensitivity about this. I'd never thought about this bothering people, but he said he grew up never learning how to play the game of chess. He said, "I was a checker player. That's all I could do." And he always felt inferior to other people because he couldn't play chess. He said he picked up his 7-year-old son from school one day and said, "Son, do you play chess?" "Oh yeah, Dad, I play all the time with my friends, yeah." And he was embarrassed that his 7-year-old son could play a game, he said, "I never understood, never played in my life." As the Lord would have it, a man came in for counseling who he found out through the course of getting his background that he was a ranked chess player, whatever that means. He competed, nationally in chess tournaments, and it was, considerably good player. And so Kevin said to this man, would you teach me how to play chess? And he said, sure. He said, we'll start meeting once a week for a while. And so for a number of weeks, they met to have a lesson to teach Kevin how to play chess. And Kevin said something interesting. I was really fascinated by this. The instructor, this guy who's an expert on chess, would begin every lesson by holding up the king. And he would say, Kevin, this is the king. You lose this, the game's over. This is the king. You lose the king and it's all over. I think you know where I'm going with that illustration. You have an opportunity to know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. You don't have him, you lose. Jesus would put it this way, what should it profit a man if he gains the whole world but he loses his own soul? I know people like you know people who sell out for a lot less than the whole world. They don't need the whole world to sell their soul. They'd sell out for a new car. And you know it. They'd sell out for a new house. They would sell out for this or that, and people would sell out for a lot less than the whole world. And it was as if Jesus was talking about an imaginary scale, and Jesus was saying rhetorically, what would you put on one side of the scale that would balance and equal the value of your soul? And you know what the answer is? Nothing. Absolutely nothing equals the value of your soul. Here's your sign at Christmas. It's the Messiah. Here's your sign at Christmas. You're a sinner just like I am and you need forgiveness. Here's your sign. You're a person who fears death and you know that ultimately the ultimate fear in life is the fear of death, and you need the one who can redeem you not only from your sin but from your fear of death, which Hebrews says holds people in bondage, in slavery, all their lives.
Well, I'd like you to hear the conclusion tomorrow if possible. Merry Christmas. Our website is crosshope.org.
The proof that God loves you, not loved you past tense, but loves you present tense, is that he sent his son. He sent his son to earth, and that's what John 1 talks about, that God became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, John says, meaning we saw him. We saw the Son of the living God in the flesh. He became flesh. That's the incarnation. And God sent his son to be the propitiation, which means the atoning sacrifice for our sins, so that I do have to stand accountable for my sin, just like you do. But someone stood in your place and took that guilt, which is a big deal, folks, bigger than you think it is. He took your guilt upon him on the cross. And by accepting what he did, receiving what he did, there is forgiveness of sins. Folks, that's the most therapeutic thing that can happen in a man's life. It's the most therapeutic thing that can happen in a woman's life, to have your sins forgiven and believe it. And believe it and trust that it's true. Some of you know who T.D. Jakes is, a minister in Dallas, Texas. I think he preaches to 26,000 people every week. It's a phenomenal church called Potter's House in Dallas. I've heard T.D. speak in person a couple times. And he tells a story out of his childhood that really touched me. He described his dad, when he grew up in West Virginia, by the way. People think he's from Texas. He grew up in West Virginia. He said, my dad was the most stubborn person in terms of refusing to ask for directions. Anybody relate to that with a family member? Somebody won't ask for directions. My dad would do two things. He wouldn't look at a map, and he refused to stop and ask somebody directions. It was too humbling to do that. Here's the tragedy. T.D. Jakes said, most of the time, it wasn't that my dad was going in the wrong direction. Most of the time, we were going in the opposite direction. If we needed to be going north up Interstate 77 through West Virginia, we were going south. If we needed to go east on Interstate 64, we were going west. He said it was oftentimes we were going in the opposite direction. I thought, what a parable for the United States of America at Christmas 2014. Folks, we're not only going in the wrong direction, we're going in the opposite direction, morally and spiritually. We really are. We are going in the opposite direction spiritually. And there are people in their marriages who don't get it, but they're doing everything that is counterproductive to blessing their marriage. And there are families that are doing anything that's 180 degrees in the wrong direction to bless their children. And you know the drill. That's the way it is in the United States of America in 2014. We're not only going off, 20 degrees to the right or left, we're going in the opposite direction. We're walking away from the Lord instead of toward Him. And as I say often, you know you've repented in your life when you stop walking away from the Lord and you start walking toward Him. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about because this year, 2014, was the year you started walking toward the Lord. We're in a generation today, I'm afraid, I mentioned this recently, we say no Jesus, we see no Jesus, and we hear no Jesus. We have nothing to do with the Christ of Bethlehem. We have everything to do with the economy and everything to do with marketing and everything to do with purchasing and selling, but nothing to do with the Christ of Christmas as a culture. We're walking away. We're like T.D. Jakes' dad. We're going in the opposite direction. All I'm asking you to do today is to start walking with Him and walking toward Him. And start believing in the Christ of Christmas, realizing He's the only hope. Your hope is not the economy. It's not politics. Your hope is in the Lord. It always has been, always will be.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday. Or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.